And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Oh, sick throw!
Nice frizz, dude.
Oh, sick frizz, man.
Oh, sick! Sick.
Nice throw, man.
Sick frizz, man.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, July 14th, 2023. This is The Drop, and I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Hey, podcast listeners. This is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder making the magic happen, super producer, he throws a cool frizz, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Hit that like button, make sure you subscribe, comment away, go get your No Dunks merch. Everybody knows this by now, over at nodunks.com, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, tanks for the summer. On today's drop, we got a lot to get to. I want to jump right into it. We're going to discuss some standouts from NBA Summer League in Vegas. We're going to look at some way too early most improved player odds. And you know we'll end with some rapid fire fun. I hope you like cheese. But let's start with, is this news? Is this news? The segment where I give the guys an NBA headline and they tell me whether or not it's newsworthy. Play along, either here on YouTube or you podcast listeners. First one. It's from a little slop from Jake Fisher at Yahoo Sports, who we saw in Summer League. The headline we'll go with is, Jazz could have interest in trading for Tyler Hero. Tass Mellis, get us started here on this Friday. Is this news?
Not news.
Is this slop? I guess it's slop.
This is Danny Ainge in the Jazz front office contemplating whether or not they can get an asset. And then potentially flipping that asset later on. Just a buy low opportunity. So, yeah, I do think that Jake Fisher's reporting is accurate. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge made a call. He made a call for John Collins a few months ago. I guess it's not even that long ago.
Weeks.
Yeah, it was not a few even. Weeks ago. You know, summertime passes in a different pace than the regular season.
Absolutely.
So when they made that John Collins deal, it was a buy low opportunity for the Utah Jazz. This is the same thing. He's just seeing if there's an opportunity here with the Dame discussions, whether or not he can be that third team.
Right.
Because Dame and the Heat and Tyler Hero, I think is going to happen. Who that third team is going to be, I don't think it's the Utah Jazz, because I don't think this is a scenario like John Collins where he can get somebody for a second round pick, essentially. I think the cost is going to be too high, but he's probably making the call anyway.
Kicking the tires on the old Hero. Yeah, Fisher wrote, for the Blazers' hopes of finding a multi-team package with Miami, there is optimism among league personnel that Portland will find at least a first-round pick from another franchise that's more keen to welcome Tyler Hero. Although outside of early rumblings about Brooklyn and Chicago, the only team even loosely connected as a Hero suitor has been Utah, TK. And like Tass said... you didn't say this part, but Jake said they were talking about Tyler Hero last year when the Donovan Mitchell trades were happening. Hence this. What do you think though, TK?
I'm with Tass. This is not news, and this is barely even slop. This feels like leftover slop that we found in the trough. And we've had such a slop shortage that we need to talk about this, because this basically comes down to the Jazz were almost going to get Tyler Hero last year. They've still got a lot of assets. Could they be interested? Still, maybe they are, but I don't see it. He fits the type that the Jazz seem to like from their guards. He's small. He scores a lot. Doesn't really play defense. That's why they drafted Keontae George. That's why they signed Jordan Clarkson to a 3-year, $55 million deal. So that would be a lot of investment in three similar players to me if they were to bring in Tyler Hero. But like you said, Skeets, Jake says the only team even loosely connected. That there's nothing else out there. This is why we have to lead with this. There's nothing else out there that, that Tyler Hero could maybe go to the Jazz. Doesn't seem like a fit to me, but, you know, they've got the pieces, and they almost had him before. So that's how we're getting this slot.
Go ahead.
I guess you can say, as far as John Collins goes, that that was the same scenario. They wanted John Collins a long time ago, and they ended up getting him. A week ago.
Yeah, true.
I can't believe that was a week ago. That feels like
months. Said months.
It was literally July 7th. It definitely felt like a previous month. The month of June, at the very least.
Nope, 7 days ago.
Anyway.
No, it happened longer ago. It had to have happened longer ago. We were in Vegas July 7th.
No, we got on a flight July 8th, right? Oh, no, we got on a flight July 5th.
July 5th through 9th. He was not traded while we were in Vegas.
Why did you say
but
July 7th?
The deal, the transaction. After the moratorium. Yes, so it's probably more like 2 weeks ago.
Well, hence why no one can keep track of time.
Exactly.
I'm going to figure it out. Anyway, John Collins was desired by the Jazz a long time ago. They ended up getting him. So I guess you could say that. But there are other teams tied to this Damian Lillard transaction, but just not within the last little while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. Like, there hasn't been hot slop recently, but obviously the Heat are there. The Sixers have to be in the discussion.
Yeah, here's why we're leading with this. One, because we're desperate, yes. But two, what I find fascinating about this whole Lillard to Miami trade is surrounded or is focusing in on Tyler Hero and his value, because it's so weird to me. That this guy, yes, he signed his four-year, $120 million contract extension with the Heat in October 2022. He plays well. This guy's, you know, averaged over 20 points per game. He's like 5 boards, 4 assists, you know, incredible at the free throw line, 44% from the floor. He's a really good three-point shooter at 38%. He feels like a really good player, really young still. But there's this idea, Trey, that's like, nobody wants him. And it's like, there's not a lot of interest, it feels like, in a player such as Tyler Hero. And I think that's just sort of fascinating to me. You can understand why maybe the Blazers don't want him, because they have guys like this, but there's an opportunity, it feels like, for a third team to really sort of steal him, if I'm looking at it like, so, you know, zooming out, in a potential three-way deal here for Tyler Hero, because I think he is a good player.
I think he's a good player, too. I'm pro-Hero. I would like him on the Bulls. But there's like 15 Tyler Heroes in the NBA. And unfortunately, this Tyler Hero has already signed his contract. Yeah. Just like Jordan Poole, another Tyler Hero, already signed his contract. So you want the cheap Tyler Hero. You want Tyrese Maxey. You don't want to pay $30 million for Tyler Hero when you can pay $8 million for Tyrese Maxey. So I think that's the bigger problem, which I listened to your guys' podcast talking about Siakam, why I don't think him signing the extension would be good for his trade value. People are pretty worried about big, long contracts, and that's why this Hero deal is kind of getting in the way here. I think Hero's a better player than Anthony Simons, but I think it's probably easier to trade Tyler Hero than Anthony Simons.
Yeah, Danny's kicking the tire for buy low, because Hero's stock has never been lower, it feels like. You have a couple negatives. Obviously, the Heat made a run without him.
Mm-hmm.
Second the contract. And, you know, tertiary is that... What was my third point? I had a point about Tyler Hero being the tertiary option here. just the fact that there are replaceables, I guess, as Trey said. I mean, the Jazz have two of them. That would be weird for the Jazz to go.
They already got two Tyler Heroes.
They have Jordan Clarkson. They have a guy performing at Summer League who has been awesome in Keontae George.
Yeah.
So it's just a buy low opportunity, but it's a smart buy low because you're getting a damn good player.
For those keeping track, I believe Tyler Hero has removed Miami Heat guard from his Twitter bio.
Oh, that was weeks ago.
Hold on, it was months ago.
Yeah,
that was said
on this show years ago. Yeah.
Okay, he would join a crowded backcourt there in Utah if he does find his way there, like you guys said. Not only Clarkson. By the way, check the numbers for last year between Clarkson and Tyler Hero. Go check Basketball Reference and just compare the players. It's damn near identical. It's wild how similar they are in terms of their production. But they have Sexton, Agbaji. You know, Taylor Horton Tucker plays 2 and 3. Keontae George, obviously, has been great in Vegas. Chris Dunn, I think, is still on the Utah Jazz. I mean,
wouldn't worry about that one.
No, but there's a lot of... I mean, it's a crowded backcourt still right now. Though you could convince me that Tyler Hero would be the best bunt of the bunch there that I just listed. 6 or 7 guys that I just said.
I've seen him have huge games in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
They did make a run without him, but they made a run with him as well. Yeah. And he was instrumental to them going to the bubble finals.
All right, let's move on. Next headline. James Harden reiterates trade request despite possible path to reconciliation with the Sixers. TK, is this news?
No. Good. I guess this is not news.
I want no's for all of these today.
This was the most interesting thing to me from this entire report from Ramondo Shelburne. She said, this isn't a demand, it's a request.
Mm-hmm.
What? How are these different?
One's a little kinder, I guess. demand sounds
that
angrier.
Make any sense to
a
me.
Demand sounds angrier.
Like you're getting more of a chance of like smashing your hand on the table.
Yes.
I'm demanding to be traded rather than I request you trade me.
Yes.
Kind sir.
Yes, right. Maybe there's a please in there.
I guess Harden did show up at the Michael Rubin party. That was a big deal, right?
Yep.
Joel Embiid was there. Tobias Harris was there. Morey has said he wants Harden back. Embiid has said he wants Harden back. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a path to reconciliation because James Harden has to play this year. He has opted into his contract. He will be an unrestricted free agent for whichever team he's on at the end of this season.
Right.
And if he wants to get another big deal, he's going to have to perform at least in the regular season and hope for the best in the postseason. So I think the Sixers probably have a little more leverage than Harden does because as we found out earlier this summer, months to weeks ago, there wasn't any leverage for Harden out there despite all of the various people he tried to talk to. So I think we're just in waiting mode because I think Harden's deal gets done after whatever Lillard deal happens because he's the more desirable player.
Absolutely. This is not happening until the Lillard trade happens. But yeah, you're trading with you're dealing with Daryl Morey here, and yeah, I think he'll be stubborn enough to wait months and until at least the regular season starts. But it's a half-hearted request. It's a I want to move, but if I got to come back, that's fine as well.
You honestly believe he could play?
Yeah.
Game one for the Philadelphia 76ers starting next season?
I could have believed that James Harden would have gone back to Houston to be on a loser of a team. So, yeah, you can believe anything with James Harden, I think. It's odd and unique, but I don't think it's crazy.
Sam Amick of The Athletic, he wrote, Harden's stance has not changed. He still wants to leave Philadelphia. He's still upset with how Morey handled his situation heading into possible free agency last month. And he's still determined to start next season in a Clippers jersey. And Sam is obviously plugged in, and I think you guys nailed it. This is sort of a waiting on the Lillard part. It's also Morey, saying, I'm in no rush. Who cares? I mean, I'm going to try and get the most I can get for James Harden. So
it's not going to happen now before Lillard gets dealt.
Yeah, so. But I do not believe for a second that James Harden will be there at the start of next season. Because Morey, even though he left before Harden, we've seen Harden sometimes give a not a fuck coming in, you know, basically partying in, I think it was Atlanta here, maybe in Vegas when he was still in the Rockets when he was done and basically saying, you know, get me out of here.
He has no problem
doing that. Yeah, I guess. But why would you don't? Yeah, fair. But it's one thing like when you're the Philadelphia 76ers with an MVP guy and you're like have plans or, you know, hopes to like go and compete for a championship. You don't want to start another season. You've already done this with Ben Simmons for crying out loud to do this again. It's just a cloud hanging over your franchise that I don't even think you can afford. So I'll be shocked if it doesn't get done before the start of season.
I'm sure he wants it to be done.
Yeah.
For sure.
But we'll see whether it ultimately is the Clippers, like Sam Amick is reporting. Anything else on Harden? I mean, we've talked so much about Harden and Lillard at this point. Is there anything new? Wait for Dame to go in Miami?
Yeah. We need a team to just, like, get in the mix for fun. Who would be an interested? Like, give me... Lots of teams have done stuff. The Orlando Magic. Just throw your hat in the ring.
Okay.
Just give us a new package to talk about. It's literally all the same players from all the same teams that we've talked about for years at this point.
Because
it's been months, which is years.
I get it.
Next one, then. Is this news here, guys? Detroit Pistons' Isaiah Stewart agree on a 4-year, $64 million extension. Was this newsworthy to Tass Mellis?
Oh, you better believe it. This is a news. This is a piece of news. Isaiah Stewart is a gamble here at 4 and 64. It's 60 plus 4 in incentives. I guess you can say it's not a huge amount of money to consider it a gamble if you look at the CBA, but it's a deal based on potential for sure. He hasn't lived up to this particular contract. So they're looking at his last couple of years and saying he has gotten better and he will continue to do so. He has the work ethic to get better. He is a big man who shoots threes. He is supposed to be the match or the complement to Jalen Duren in that front court. He's going to be their four. He's not a five. He's going to be that four who's supposed to be able to shoot threes. He shot 33% last year, the year before that, and the year before that. But last year, he took a heck of a lot more. So they're optimistic. But this is just the Pistons hoping that one of their big men pan out. They paid Marvin Bagley, somewhat of a similar three for 37.5. 12.5 hasn't necessarily worked out. They went and traded for James Wiseman. Hope his potential panned out. Hasn't panned out. They hope Jalen Duren will pan out. They're trying. And this is another attempt, but we know that either way Isaiah Stewart is going to be a complementary player, so it's going to look better if their backcourt and Ivy and Cunningham are awesome, but they're just hoping that one of these big men really pay off, and then this contract won't look that big.
And the last year of the contract, I believe, is a team option too, so it's even a little better from the Pistons side of things,
right.
Are you shocked by this number here, Trey, or them just extending him in general?
Yeah, it's a big number. That's a big number for Isaiah Stewart. Like, they think he can shoot threes, but, I mean, Tess said it, 33% every single season of his career. He has taken more, so that helps, but feels like a backup big man to me. He's going to be 22 at the start of the season, like $16 million a year. That's fine, especially as the cap goes up. There's going to be no problems. I don't think there was a real rush to get this done, but
right.
I don't know. You guys ever walk into the kitchen and just like, hey, what are you cooking? Person who's working the stove says, I don't really know yet. That's Troy Weaver. What's he doing? What's he cooking?
He's got a lot of ingredients.
He's got a lot of big ingredients.
Yeah.
But none of his big guys are all that good. I think their best one is their youngest one, Duren. Like, he's, to me, is the future.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me to be paying Bagley, to be paying Isaiah Stewart, when it feels like that should be the guy going forward.
They're obviously cooking some beef stew, and they're throwing some Isaiah livers in it to give it a little bit of flavor.
Sure.
I guess one interesting thing, since we're all saying that it's a lot of the similar players that have been in discussion here the last month, Tim Cato reported that the Pistons and Mavs talked about a deal to get Bojan Bogdanović to Dallas, and that there was some traction there. But what was interesting is that it would be another big coming back to the Pistons. JaVale McGee. It would be Bogdanović and Killian Hayes, who is not long for Detroit with the way they're drafting a guard, a Sasser, and everybody on that team, for JaVale McGee and Tim Hardaway to get another shooter. But they couldn't figure out the other parts of the deal, whether there was picks involved, and it sure seems like Bogdanović will be dealt at some point. I think Weaver will capitalize on that.
Right.
But it's a whole heck of a let's just hope one of these guys pans out in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm with you that they are betting here on his growth, his continued, they're hoping at least consistency at nailing the three-point shot, because he increased his volume to 4.1 attempts last year. But 33% is not good. But, you look at guys, and they were later in their career, so don't get me wrong. Horford, right? When he suddenly had a year where he cranked up his three-point attempts, it wasn't 40%. It was a little bit better than 33%. Same with Brook Lopez, even in that first year where suddenly he's letting it fly from deep. It wasn't wowing you at 40%. It was a little bit better than 33%. So at Beef Stew's age here, they're hoping, why can't he be above average? He's interesting defensively because he's a little too undersized, right, to guard the opposing big man, the five. And then I don't think he's really athletic enough to sort of guard some of the wings in this league. So he's caught in between a little bit, but a situational five, small ball five, sure, I can see it. But yeah, they have Bogdanović. They have James Wiseman. Jalen Duren, they're hoping, probably is their future five. Marvin Bagley III, you said there. And then Beef Stew here. That is the five bigs on this team. But yeah, it's still affordable. I like that last year being a team option. I think that helps it a bit. But he was 11-8 last year. And he started a lot of the games, and then he got injured. But he's very young, so I think they're just hoping with his work ethic that he'll be at least a contributing player to this squad.
Better to keep him around and then figure it out later, because they're still very unformed right now. Their best prospect, Cade Cunningham, missed the majority of last season, so they want to see what it all looks like together. This was the craziest piece of the news to me. This is the Pistons' first rookie extension since owner Tom Gores purchased the franchise in 2011. The first for the organization since Jason Maxiel in 2008.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I went and looked back at the Pistons' drafts.
Oh, that's dark.
Turn off the podcast, our buddy Grish. This is dark times. 2020, Killian Hayes. 2019, yep. Sekou Doumbouya. 2018, they drafted Bruce Brown in the second round. Traded him for Sadiq Bey, who they traded before he got to his extension. 2017, Luke Kennard, also part of the Sadiq Bey trade. 2016, Henry Ellenson, the only NBA player who's ever looked exactly like Ben Golliver. 2015, Stanley Johnson. 2014, Spencer Dinwiddie in the second round.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
2013, KCP. They traded him before he got good. 2012, Andre Drummond. Did get a $100 million deal.
Right.
But he got it as a restricted free agent because they're like, is anybody really going to pay you? They did, so the Pistons ponied up as well. 2011, Brandon Knight, who was traded with Chris Middleton for Brandon Jennings, who was traded before he got to his extension. 2010, Greg Monroe. He came back to the Pistons. Signed a qualifying offer. Maybe they dodged a bullet there, all things considered. 2009, Austin Day. 2008, DJ White, who they traded for literally nothing. 2007, Rodney Stuckey, the only NBA player who looked exactly like 50 Cent. 2006, no picks. And 2005, Jason Maxiel. Brutal.
Oh, it sounds like they've been very patient when it comes to growing their own players, their own draft pick. That is,
man.
That's a list.
There's been a lot of different people in charge in Detroit over the past, 18 years? A full senior in high school? So I don't know how many different administrations they've had, but they're all bad at drafting. That's crazy.
Asar Thompson looks good, though.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah, they've been bad. It's weird. Like James Wiseman is sort of an afterthought on this roster. Marvin Bagley is sort of an afterthought on this roster. They just get guys with the potential, that had potential, that were drafted number two.
Redraft guys.
Yeah, with the hopes. Hopefully Isaiah Stewart isn't that type of guy. But hopefully, I mean, they just need one. They just need one. If one of those guys pans out with Cade,
they got to hope Cade pans out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, Cade was not playing very well before he got hurt last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be a shooter? They need him to be a shooter because Ivy doesn't look like a shooter. They've obviously got a lot of big guys, and they might be trading their best shooter in Bogdanovich. So this is a big year, I kind of think, for Cade Cunningham.
Mm. Killian Hayes is extension eligible, don't hold your breath on that one. I wouldn't think they'll be giving him one. Next piece of news here. The NBA to implement flopping penalty and expand the use of the coach challenge. Trey, let's start with you. I know we've talked about this a little bit already, but is this news now that we know some details about it?
Yeah, I suppose this is news. We're going to have some new rules to look at. It ain't the up-down report, but I am so down on this.
Yeah.
I am so down.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
More stoppages, more reviews, and more complaining. The flopping penalty is not going to change anything except for people arguing about whether or not this was a flop. Think about soccer. They give a yellow card for embellishment.
Sure.
Those guys don't flop. People have been flopping in the NBA for 40 years, probably since the NBA started. There was a cover of Sports Illustrated magazine about Bill Laimbeer's flopping in 1990. They've tried so many things. People are still going to fall, and refs are still going to fall for it. As for the additional review, it's like, it makes sense. You win one, you get it back. But guess what? Now we have double the reviews in every single game. So big down for me.
What do you think, Tass, on either of them? Do you prefer one to the other?
Definitely the coach's challenge has a little bit more teeth to it. It's going to happen. I mean, the flopping thing, I think, is going to be out the door in the first month. I don't think referees are going to be calling
it. Will it last months or weeks? How will it work when the season starts?
This is going to be a half-hearted attempt at the beginning. And the other part of this is, if you read into it, referees won't have to stop play to call a flop. They can wait until the next stop in live action if needed to make the call. So to me, it sounds like it's going to come from up high. Like they're going to see a flop and then wait for 3 minutes to whistle it down. It doesn't sound
so,
like
so to explain that, that's like what they can do now with whether a guy's on the 3-point line.
Right.
Right. Game continues. Yeah, they make a little.
We'll check it.
Little whatever.
We'll check it later.
Hand signal.
You know why we'll check it later? Because it's impossible to tell in real time. It's impossible to tell if somebody is flopping in real time. That's why nothing is going to happen. And what they do receive is a non-unsportsmanlike technical foul. That's what will be administered. And that means, in layman's terms, not a real technical foul. Like a technical foul if right. you're hanging on the rim or if there's too many players on the floor. So you don't get tossed if this is part of your two technical fouls. This is just some extra thing. So it's,
the opposing team gets a free throw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a tech foul. So it's it doesn't have teeth. I don't think – I think it's too hard to call. And I think, yeah, like somebody stepping on the – on the three-point line when you let a shot go, I don't think it's going to come from a referee. Like, I think it's going to maybe call from the review center. Hey, you might want to look at this flop. It's extremely egregious. I think they might try and get rid of the wild, wild, wild Chris Paul way over the top mm-hmm. type flops. I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's and the flopping fines still exist, which don't exist. That is a rule, but yeah. they don't.
They're still out there.
Yeah, it's not implemented at all, and that doesn't deter anything. If you make it even, like, they don't even use that. Even if you made it 50,000 a flop, that wouldn't deter anything.
I'm also terrified of the NBA broadcast when it comes to like discussing the flops and trying to tell us what's happened. Especially if we can go back, it doesn't have to be called right there. At the moment it occurs, and we can get it like when there's a stoppage. Like it's gonna be a mess. I can see it now of the broadcast trying to explain what the hell happened. Why is this team suddenly shooting a free throw? And then they're gonna have to go back and show us, but they're gonna be confused because this is interesting. Possession will not change, however, and flopping violations can't be directly reviewed by a coach's challenge. They can, however, be added to a call during a review of a different play. Just reading that is confusing. So in practice, maybe it's – well, the challenge part I get, but it's like this – the possession not – like I think what could happen here is I'm posting you up, Tass. I'm light, so you shouldn't be falling over, right? But you sell it. And play continues, okay? Play keeps going on, but yeah, the ref has noticed that you probably flopped. Or someone in Secaucus or whatever. We keep going. Three plays later, there's a stoppage. And now we're going to go look, I guess, at you and determine whether you did flop. And then we do. So I guess my team is just going to get a free throw. Mm-hmm. But it's not like then we keep ball. It'll be whatever had happened after that, we're just then picking up from there. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Just peppering a free throw.
So it could still be your ball.
Yeah, and
fun.
And I think the NBA's goal there is to not stop the play.
Yes,
in that it happens during some random break of play. It's a TV timeout. They went and checked during a TV timeout, like they do when you step on the line, and they'll come back and say, "Oh, this egregious flop resulted in a free throw."
Doesn't it make more sense to actually stop the flop when it happens?
But it's impossible to call. It's just so hard to call, and that's why I think it's going to come from a review center with the hopes that it doesn't stop play, and then it'll be gone in a month,
okay,
or so weeks, we'll or months, or whatever time is.
And as for the challenges, are you concerned like Trey is, in just terms of there being really another one that they can use just to slow the game a little bit more, or no issues with it?
Well, the thing is, I like coaches having that power in a way, but the thing is, they're always like 50-50 anyways. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. So what's the point of giving them a second challenge, you know? I don't know. They sped it up.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, I don't know the percentage exactly, but it sure feels like they don't win them all the time, so it's kind of like, what's the point?
We'll see. Let's hear from you guys on this one, both the second challenge there, if you get the first one right for the coaches, and this flopping penalty. Are you a fan of it? Why not give it a go? Let's hear your thoughts. Final piece of Is This News? Oh, wow. JD dropping the Canadian anthem. Should we stand? Oh, and the flag and everything. This is beautiful. Okay, so the headline is Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander headline Team Canada FIBA roster. Yes, the training camp roster is out, Tass, for Canada's upcoming FIBA World Cup run. It's Jamal Murray. It's SGA. It's RJ Barrett. It's Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, Shea Brissett, Corey Joseph. I'll stop there because those are the NBA guys. And then you got a couple scrubs. That's their names.
Literal scrubs.
That's their names.
What about Kevin Pangos?
That's right. Zach Eddy.
He used to play a little NBA. So, Zach Eddy will play in the NBA.
Excuse me.
He'll play in the NBA. Yeah.
Probably cannot run. Yeah.
But this is the roster. Right now, I mean, there's a lot of names. It'll be dwindled down to 12. But is this news, Tess?
This is the best collection of Canadian talent ever assembled.
Of all time!
Damn right. It's great news. It's like the No Dunks podcast.
How?
The best collection of Canadian talent ever assembled.
Oh, jeez.
Did you hear JD insert that organ at the exact right time? That wasn't even practiced. Anyway, good thing we did that Canadian baseball podcast a couple weeks ago. JD, you had these lower thirds produced.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, baby. Great. Anyway, yeah, Jamal Murray takes all the headlines, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is borderline MVP candidate last year, only getting better. And yeah, it's a stacked basketball team.
It's pretty good. I mean, the backcourt especially. It might be the best starting backcourt, and maybe in FIBA with those two guys. But yeah, they need to obviously have a good showing here in the FIBA World Cup because they want to make the Olympics in 2024. And they can qualify by being one of the two top seven teams from the Americas. It's a weird thing how they do this. But within this FIBA World Cup, okay, follow me, there are seven teams from the Americas region. Obviously, the Americans are one of them, Canada the other one. There's five other ones. Don't ask me to name them, but you got to finish top two. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems like that.
So
Mexico, that's the goal here, and we'll find out whether they can.
That's so weird because it's group play, but you can determine who are the tops, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it'd be nice if Wiggy was there or Shaedon Sharpe was there, for sure.
It's potential that they could maybe be included in Paris if they do qualify, but then you get into that whole thing like these are the guys that got you there, and that's an issue. I can understand why, but this is a very, very good team. You have to applaud the guys for committing because this is the whole thing. They're trying to do what America has done. Hey guys, we need 3-year commitments to try and build some continuity, to build a team here, because we have all these NBA players. We should be better than we are, and this is an organization that's unfortunately come up short time and time again here. But anyway, Trey, thoughts?
They got to advance this year. Yeah. They got to get out of the group stage. It's Canada, Latvia, Lebanon, and France. France is advancing.
Sure.
So it's basically, for me, between Canada and Latvia. Maybe that's a problem with Kristaps Porzingis because the bigs are definitely the weakness for Canada. Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, and Zach Edey seem to be the guys. So I guess if Porzingis goes nuts, maybe Latvia has a chance here. But it feels like Canada has a pretty solid chance to at least make it to the knockout round.
Yeah, I guess Lou Dort will size up a little bit and take some fours, but yeah, they're lacking in the bigs department for sure. They play France on August 25th. Good stuff.
Hours from now.
Just a couple hours.
I'm gonna keep running with this.
It'll be on you before you know it. August 25th will be here very soon.
That's true.
There's 32 teams in this tournament. That's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Too many.
Well, seven from the Americas.
Too many.
That's too many.
Seven from the Americas is a lot. It does feel like.
And I think they're doing that with the Olympics, too, where they've expanded the field where it's going to be 32, I think.
I think you're right.
Sounds like a lot. But as you said, they should advance with France, hopefully. It's two teams from each division, each group, each pot, whatever they're calling them. Is it? Is it two teams?
Yeah, it is.
Too far. Well, I'm sure I'm looking ahead to this, man. Looking ahead. I'm looking forward to them advancing, hopefully.
Yeah, they definitely could use some bigs. I mean, Canada's done a great job of like the 1, 2, and 3 positions, really, in growing talent, NBA talent. Because like you said it, no Sharp here. You know, Wiggins, I know, is maybe a 3, sort of borderline 4, maybe at FIBA level. But Benedict Mathurin,
yeah,
Andrew Nembhard. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good guards in Canada here. But yeah, need some bigs. Trey, can we get you some Canadian citizenship?
No.
Damn it.
No,
you've already played for Team America.
I'm on Team America's World Squad, but I'm just thinking back to Matt Bonner. That guy couldn't even get Canadian citizenship. Yeah. He was an actual NBA big. Mm. They could use him. Maybe bring back Tristan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
He played in the playoffs. I saw it with my own eyes.
That's right. So, the goal is to obviously go pretty far here, I think, in FIBA World Cup with this type of team. And we'll wait to see what their final 12 are.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Let's talk a little Summer League, guys. It's been a second. My simple question is, who has stood out to you from Vegas Summer League? And I know we could make this into its whole damn podcast, but we won't get to everybody, but who has maybe surprised you or someone you want to talk about deserves some praise here?
Well, I didn't know Keontae George had that skill set. He didn't start well in the Utah Summer League, and then he looks a lot like Jordan Clarkson. Like, he can fire away, then he can take it to the rack. He had 39 through two games. I mean, he is the Jordan Clarkson replacement on that team. And he got injured at the end of it, but I think the MRIs, all the X-rays were negative. So, yeah, he can get to the rim, yeah, but he's also ready to fire. He looks like a very, very skilled player, number 16 out of Baylor. So they got to be happy with that. I'll just start there because I don't want to name everyone quite yet.
No, he looks good. I mean, when you see him play, he does feel like he can sort of do a bit of everything in terms of, like, shooting the three, getting to the rim, like you said, looks comfortable in the pick and roll, hits guys, you know, cutting through the lane. Disappointing, the ankle injury, because, like, maybe he was on his way to winning potentially like a Summer League MVP. I think he had talked about it being like sort of like one of his early goals here, and I know the Jazz were doing really well here too, but they've shut him down. But yeah, he definitely impressed. What about you, Trey?
Yeah, Keontae George is definitely good. A couple of guys that we haven't talked about yet who I think have been impressive is Asur Thompson. That guy looks pretty solid. Obviously, Amen went out with an injury, but Asur has still been playing. 12, 8, 4 assists, a couple of steals, a couple of blocks. Incredible athlete. He's shooting 16% from three. People said, watch out for the jumper. That's going to be next step for both of the Thompson twins, but I thought he's been pretty solid. And Jordan Walsh for the Celtics as a deeper cut has been really, really good. 18 points, 5 rebounds, a couple assists, a steal, shooting good percentages. Looks like he'll probably play for the Celtics. You know, they replaced basically Grant Williams with Kristaps Porzingis. They still got some need for minutes out on the wing, I would have to imagine. I could see Walsh getting some minutes, but my biggest Summer League hot take takeaway, Chet Holmgren is going to win Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
He's going to do it because we've already heard Zach Lowe speculating about Victor Wembanyama being load managed. He wants to play in the Olympics next year. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of games to play for a rookie. So I would not be surprised if he is near the 65-game limit. Chet's going to play a ton. That guy's still going in Summer League because he sat out for an entire season, and he is dominating. He looks like a second-year player because he is, technically, but he's still going to be eligible for Rookie of the Year. So hold me to this in months, literal months, when we're making our picks. I'm going to take Chet.
Okay. I mean, look, it could be a nice little race between Chet, Scoot, Wembanyama. And you're right, I had forgotten about it. You got to play the 65 games now. I forgot that also goes for the rookies, which is, now that I think about it, you know, I don't mind it, but it's sort of like a little shocking.
It is a lot of games.
Yeah, it is. But what do you, think about that?
I love Chet with Shea and with Josh Giddey. He's going to get a lot of opportunity. They didn't have really a pick and roll guy last year, and he will be rolling. He will be popping. He is going to be a focus for those guards. They're going to be excited to play with that dude. And obviously, defensively, he's really stood out at Summer League. Looks bigger. So hopefully he can keep that up, because in that way, it's his first season in terms of just games played and you know, having the physical endurance So hopefully it'll be all right. Another guy who is big and looks big and was supposed to be like a Draymond Green prototype, Jairus Walker with the Pacers, and he's doing that. He is. You could see him, the dribble handoffs that Draymond Green gets, and then just a straight line drives or breaking up offensive plays, just totally busting them up with a great block or a steal. Like, he's a 5x5 guy waiting to happen.
Right.
So looking forward to watching him.
The one big picture I've thought about in the summer league action that we either saw when we were live or, you know, just watching highlights in some of the games here back in Atlanta, in the top 10, let's say, there are a lot of defensive disruptors. I would say both the Thompson twins are of that, you know, sort of ilk. I mean, you're hoping that the offensive game, especially the shooting, will come around. But the same can be said, I think, for Anthony Black, who has, I thought, been pretty solid for the Magic. Obviously, their pick. He's great defensively. Like, he is smart. Bilal Coulibaly, same thing. But it's just going to be, all these guys, they can play defense. You could put them out there right now, and they're not going to get lost. But, yeah, can they hit a shot? And can, because teams are going to start leaving them and sagging under pick and rolls and saying, come on, shoot away, man. What are you going to do? So that'll, that's just going to be their development. And but defensively, man, some of these guys are awesome already, I think.
Yeah. Offense is the question.
Yeah.
And another question is, will Jordan Poole or Kyle Kuzma pass the ball to Bilal Coulibaly? Will he have a shot at making a shot? But he, lots of guys are showing some great stuff. We saw Kobe Bufkin make that game winner.
Game winner, yeah.
Looks like he's got body control. Anyway, it's been a fun summer league for that. Also, a fun nickname, Chet GPT. I like it. Looks like he was made in a lab. Okay. Ignatius Roberto coming through in the stream team.
Chet GPT.
I can see it. We know Shea likes his social media. I don't know. There's something there.
Anyone else you wanted to talk about? I mean, some of the second year guys. I mean, not surprised. Like Jabari Smith Jr.
Too good for summer league.
Dominant. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, this happens every year.
Yeah.
Where you see them play a game or two and you're like, yep. Yep. They were an NBA guy. They know what they're doing and have gotten better for sure. But anyone else you wanted to toss in here?
Nah, we talked about those guys earlier. I guess Marjan Beauchamp. It's interesting that he's been playing pretty well because the Bucks are a team that is lacking in youth and athleticism, and he is their big upside swing, kind of like when the Nuggets took Michael Porter Jr. despite the knowledge of his back injury. This guy could raise our ceiling in the future. I think the same is probably true what the Bucks are hoping from Beauchamp. If they're able to get a guy who was, one of the highest recruited players when he was a high school player and he somehow blossoms once he gets to the NBA, that would be a huge find for them. So the fact that he's playing pretty well in year two, I think, is encouraging.
Yeah. All right, let's hear from everybody out there. Like I said, lots of names that I'm sure you're upset we haven't talked about, but you tell us who we're missing there and in regards to summer league standouts, because I wanted to slip this in. Odds are out for most improved player of the year. The list is very long. I think there was 100 names. We've
shouldn't it be every player?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. We've only included anyone with, 20-1 odds here. But the list for you podcast listeners, Jordan Poole is the favorite to win MIP, most improved, 7-1 odds, followed very closely there by Mikal Bridges. Then it's Şengün, Austin Reeves, both of those guys at 14-1. Cade Cunningham, 16-1. Scotty Barnes, 18-1. And then three guys at 20-1. Josh Giddey, Paolo Banchero, and Shaedon Sharpe there, our good old Canadian. Play the music again. But, yeah. And then, like I said, a million guys after this. But this shock you at all? Jordan Poole makes sense? You think it should be someone else's favorite? What do you think, Tess?
He had the best odds last year, too, didn't he?
Did he?
Really?
Or was that sixth man? Maybe it was sixth man I'm thinking of. But, I mean, I could see Poole winning this thing. I think it's less about improving his game and more about improving his image. I think that's what it would be, because he could be the winner of this because he's a scorer. Last year, I think it's easy to sort of forget that he was a 24-point-per-game guy as a starter. And so his numbers will jump no matter what. Will they be efficient enough? Will the Wizards win enough? Because I think that's part of improving the image. But, he was a 20-point-per-game guy overall because he mostly came off the bench. So I think Poole's got a good shot. And Shaedon Sharpe, I think, has a really good shot as well because he's growing as a player, and he's going to have opportunity, it sure feels like, with the Blazers. And he's so focused on winning the most improved player that he's not playing for Team Canada. He is just, I think he's got the package. And so he's ready. He also won't go in the slam dunk contest because he's so focused on the second half last year. He's ready to get better, I think.
Trey, who would you be zeroing in on here for MIP?
I think the smart pick on here is Mikhail Bridges. He's barely not the favorite with Jordan Poole. Yeah. And I think that when you just look at his splits last year, 17 a game with Phoenix and then 26 a game with Brooklyn, yeah, he's going to be knocking on the door of an all-star berth, which is a good way to win most improved player these days.
Yep.
But further down, the guy I would actually pick is Paolo Banchero. I think he could be an all-star this year. I'm really bullish on this guy. And at 20-1, he's still the best player on the Magic. They were really solid in the second half of the season last year. Who knows how much of that is real? But I do think the Magic are getting better, and Paolo coming off a Rookie of the Year, that'd be pretty weird to win Rookie of the Year, followed by Most Improved. That's tough.
That'll be his biggest obstacle.
But if he makes the All-Star game, averages 25 a game, I think he's in the mix.
Yeah. I like the Bridges pick if I had to put money on anyone. I guess I also have a bet with one of you. Is it you or is it you about who's going to score more on the Wizards, Poole or Kuzma? I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was you. So I would lean towards Bridges because the way this award's been going, Trey, you nailed it. It's like that jump to, oh, wow, you're an All-Star. And especially in your first, all-star.
The Smash Mouth most improved player in the NBA.
And I think Bridges has a great chance to be one, as he showed when he went over to Brooklyn. I would lean into this guy. I mean, if he's averaging 25 and maybe the Nets are still solid like they, you know, held on last year, then yeah, he would probably win this. But I guess if Poole's scoring, I don't know, 29 a game, that's going to look good in some eyes of the voters, but... You tell us who you got for way too early.
No love for Scotty Barnes? Player.
No, I don't.
He's getting the ball a lot. Darko's hooking him up.
That's true.
18-1? He did it smart. He won Rookie of the Year, then he had a struggle mode in the year, too. So now he can become the most improved player. It's kind of like the Julius Randle method.
Like when you look at this list that we had, it's like who played the most poorly or whose rep took the biggest hit? Poole was a great one, which is why he's the favorite. Maybe Cade is there because obviously he's
the unknown,
injured in the unknown. And then probably it's Scotty in terms of like having a disappointing year in his second season. Yeah. Because the other guys like, you know, feels like, you know, they're respected. Reeves and Şengün and Giddey for sure. And Paolo won Rookie of the Year. So it's a tough one. Always a difficult prediction when we get to it.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick Bridges, because I already have him in sort of, in my eyes, he's already up there in star level. But as far as, the general NBA, I'm sure he isn't quite yet. So, yeah, he could easily pot 25 like he did when he was with Brooklyn. And Scotty, I wonder if Scotty scores enough, even though he'll have the ball in his hands to win this thing. But he will improve this year, that's for sure.
How much does he improve the Raptors is the real key component there to his chances. If they shock a lot of people and are back to being, you know, a 50 plus win team, 55 wins, then and he's the lead point guard or the lead ball handler, then yeah, I could definitely see a case for him.
And if there was a most improved vibes, it could be the Raptors. If he's smiling again, most increased vibes, higher vibes than last year, Scotty could get the benefit of the doubt there, or get all the credit for it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's start wrapping up this drop podcast with some rapid fire fun. I got the questions, you guys got the answers. First one: during a recent panel organized by the NBA, Jerry West discussed the difference that he sees in the league today and the overall competitiveness of its players. While most athletes embrace the dog mentality, Jerry West, he took it a step further, saying, quote, "I was not afraid. Everyone talks about being a dog. Well, I was a wolf. I used to eat dogs. End quote. Bars from Jerry West there. Pretty good. But I wanted to know, what are you most competitive at, Tess?
I used to eat dogs. I will say the NYT spelling bee. I always got to get to genus before I turn it off.
Okay.
There's no way I turn it off. I shut it down. I'll stay in bed all night. I don't care.
I love it.
I don't care.
And generally do.
Yeah, sometimes don't, for sure. Sometimes I do not. Sometimes they're just damn hard. but I try.
All right.
You ever get to queen bee status? You get every single word?
Oh, no, I don't think I've ever done that.
Special unlocked level. I've only done it once. We do it every single night as well.
You're talking about the one where there's the letter in the middle and it's like the little hexagon or whatever is. Yeah, okay, that is fun.
Queen bee, huh?
Yeah. Queen bee.
Okay.
That's a great one. Oh, man, spelling bee is awesome. Everybody wanted to talk about Wordle, and spelling bee was better the entire time.
Oh, man.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Thing I'm most competitive at right now, I've had to actually change my life, because once upon a time, I heard JD telling his young son, this must have been more than 10 years ago, Trey is very competitive. And I did not want to be known as that.
Oh,
so I've had to tamp it down. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just getting older, man. I want to be mellow.
It was meant as a compliment.
Yeah, but you don't want to be a temper boy.
I don't want to be a temper
boy. But you want to be competitive.
Sometimes I'm a temper boy. Honestly, I'm still very competitive. Number one most competitive thing these days, playing tennis with Laura.
Ooh.
Because we're pretty even. Like, she has more skills than I do. Like, she takes lessons. She knows how to do stuff. But my advantage is I don't care if I get hurt. She's like, I'm not going to sprain an ankle playing tennis. Yeah. I was like, I will sprain an ankle if it means I beat you. And guess who's undefeated so far?
Ooh, look at you.
I thought she was going to beat me the first time we played this year. So did she. But.
You rallied? Yeah. Came back?
Yes. Oh, nice. Yes, nice. Of course.
Well, what do you play? Just one set? Do you play two sets?
Best of seven, usually. I mean, we play four. I mean, that's what it is in men's, right? In men's singles, you got to win four. You got to win five.
No,
I don't know.
Best of five.
Yeah, best of five. So you got to win three. You guys are like,
I guess I'm just too competitive.
Super, yeah. No doubt. JD, what about you? What are you most competitive at?
I don't get to do it often, but go-karting with kids. I have to win. I have to be in the front.
Interesting.
I have to pass people.
You're a better driver than children.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there are some places here in Atlanta that actually keep track, you know, pardon the pun. But when you're going around and you'll see your results, and I have to be number one.
What if you get a shitty cart? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, of course.
But no excuses.
I'm a big fat guy racing against kids, like little kids, but I still have to be number one. Like,
you dirty out there on the track?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Cut everybody off. I'm like Trey, actually. I don't care if I get hurt. Everybody else is. Yeah. I don't know about this, but I will fly off the track if I have to.
Man, great answers, guys. Yeah, sometimes you write these questions, you're like, I don't know.
You never know.
What are we going to get out of this one? You guys knocked it out of the park. All three great answers. Next one here. Burger King in Thailand has introduced a burger with 20 slices of American cheese. Yes, 20. No meat. It's called the Real Cheeseburger. Here's a picture of this Whopper fart meal for all of you joining us on YouTube. And for you podcast listeners, just imagine two pieces of bun from a burger and 20 slices of American cheese in the middle. It's crazy looking. I'm not still 100% convinced this is real, but I want to know, what's a personal menu hack, either from a restaurant that you ask for or at home, that you swear by?
I hated a cheese sandwich when it was one piece of American cheese on bread. I don't know if this is a hack. I eat my fajitas separately. Like it's a deconstructed
fajita. Okay.
Like I will never. I don't like wrapping them. I like tasting every sauteed part, every piece of. I go to Superica, a local spot here. You know, Tex-Mex type stuff.
Yeah,
but good stuff. It's tastier.
But
I want to taste every part. The sour creme. That part separately. Every part separately.
But you will, hold on, at the restaurant, would you order the fajita and then take it apart? Or are you just getting a bowl version?
No, it's like, you know, how you get served at a restaurant. They're already separated.
Oh, I see. And you just, gotcha. You're not going to make it, basically. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's a non-constructed
fajita.
That's a better way to put it. Okay.
Do you eat the tortilla? By itself?
Yeah, not usually.
Okay.
Sometimes. Tortillas, you know. I know you've been making them with bacon fat. You've been making them with bacon fat?
Gotta use lard, yeah.
That's so good.
Mm.
Yeah.
I always thought that restaurant was called Sup, Erica.
Super.
Sup.
Personal menu hack.
Yeah, poor man's nachos. Chips, shredded cheese, sriracha. Throw it in the microwave for 42 seconds. You're eating at 11:30 at night.
Definitely a poor man's version of that.
That's like the very bottom of the barrel of something you could consider nachos. It has cheese. It has sauce.
But even the microwave part. Yeah. Like, some people at least put it in the oven.
Sure. When I go for the rich man's chos. Like, it's not the King's Crown nachos, okay? But the rich man's chos, that's going in the oven. That's well prepared. This is how are we getting through the second half of the late game tonight?
Yeah.
I'm throwing a bunch of chips on this plate. Doesn't matter what size they are. The worst part though is if you let it go a little too long and the cheese gets stuck to the plate.
Yeah.
When it turns from cheese to like shellac, how does that happen? You can't go too deep.
Have you always wondered when you've done this? Because I've done that too a number of times. Isn't the smarter way to do it really just to warm up the cheese and have like a dipping cheese and then we can use our chips?
A dipping cheese, yeah. Like that little queso, no doubt.
Serve that at South America.
Yeah, you got it. The cheese pull? The cheese pull is
good. Yeah, I know.
It feels so good.
I know. JD, what's your menu hack?
I mean, I don't know if anybody does this. I've never heard of anybody do this, but I'm sure it's very common. You've heard of peanut butter and jam or jelly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And you've heard of Nutella, right?
Yeah.
I like... If I'm if I'm having toast with Nutella, crunchy peanut butter layer underneath.
Underneath?
Nobody does this.
Okay, so you're putting the peanut butter with Nutella.
And then, I'm putting the Nutella over the crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's peanut. It's like Reese's, it's like a 70s Reese's peanut butter cups commercial. But I've never heard anybody do this.
Which is a little shocking.
Yeah.
Those are two of the most famous flavors.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
But I'm telling you, go home and try it.
Do you think it's important that the peanut butter is the base and then the Nutella on top, or does it matter?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Yes, because the Nutella is creamier and easier to spread over. And I prefer a crunchy peanut butter.
Right.
So.
You're not team smooth.
Hell no.
Okay. All right, great hacks. Everybody try those... Little items there from the guys. Final one. It took a little longer than expected, but I think it's safe to say that we've all recovered from NBA Summer League. We had a blast out there. I want to know, besides the meet and greet with some of the best fans in the world, what was your favorite part about this year's trip to Vegas? It could be basketball related. It could not be. You can go anywhere you want.
Mine is basketball related, but also not. Jaden Ivey, Pistons guard, was chilling in the same pool as us. That just really elevated my pool experience. For Jaden Ivey to be in the same pool, just to recognize it as that good of a pool.
Yeah, you know?
Like a basketball player who could choose any pool in the world. He could have a private pool. He's choosing this
pool.
You
can choose any pool in the world, but you're here with us.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Shared water with Jaden Ivey.
All right.
Yep. I'm with you. That was exciting. I also loved that we inducted a couple of new Bamboo Boys.
Yeah.
Jerome joined us at the pool.
Yep.
Obviously, Jaden Ivey, he's a Bamboo Boy now. Our buddy Will. And I think I wasn't there, but are you guys willing to consider Zach Harper a Bamboo Boy as well?
It was quick. It was brief.
Okay.
But he was there with us at the pool.
He's in.
I got no problem with that.
He is 100% in.
Hell, Jason Quick, too.
Sure.
If you're in the pool with us when we're all there, you're in the Bamboo Boys.
Great. We got a 10-man rotation then.
Awesome.
We got, you know, the four of us. We got Matt. We got Lee. And now we're adding Jerome, Will, Zach, and Jason Quick. Of course. So a 10-man rotation for the Bamboo Boys. Favorite part about this year's trip, I feel like we ate awesome.
Better than we normally do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We were trying a great variety of foods. We found a couple of food halls, which seemed to be a new thing going around in Vegas. And then we had an incredible meal at Best Friend at the Park MGM. I was telling some people about our trip, and people are like, you went to Best Friend? Roy Choi? Yeah. Roy Choi and us, Bamboo Boys, we are best friends now.
Highly recommend that place in Vegas.
Very good.
Great vibe, fun scene, and the food was phenomenal. JD, take us home here. What was your favorite part?
It was right off the bat. We had a very difficult time getting there. our plane broke down. We went to Memphis. We got very lucky with the rebook. Anyways, that's not the story. We get to the hotel. We're sitting in the bar. And Fred Katz comes in hot. He sits next to us.
Hot Katz!
And he spends about 20 minutes breaking down his top five fruits.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But I have never met anyone so passionate about fruit.
No, he loves fruit. Fruit. It was like, he was saying, like, he was talking a big fruit game.
Yeah.
Right? But then we were like, hold on. You know, we're going to, I asked like a million questions.
Yeah.
I was like, how really into fruit are you?
Very, very.
Blew me away. Yeah.
Well, he was late coming to the bar because he was arranging his fruit in a bowl that he had picked up from Whole Foods before he got, like, from the airport. He pulled a Lee Ellis, the airport Whole Foods hotel.
Yeah.
And he had so much fruit, he was like emptying potted plants to throw his mangoes and, he didn't like mangoes.
No, that guy said pluots.
Pluots, berries.
A plurality of times.
He put them in his ice bucket. I think it was also he loved them so much, he made it a decorative item.
Yeah.
Sprucing up the place, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
What were his top three?
The top three, I believe, were berries. Like,
raspberry, very high, and I love raspberries. And even I was like, that's too high,
yeah,
man.
Too high.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of berries up there.
Well, he just like he was going away from the OG fruit. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. No,
which
classics.
Is like, okay, I get it. You want to be exotic, classics. But an
exotic
apple's an
raspberry.
Apple, man.
He was talking trash about apples. He was straight up slamming apples.
That's insane.
After all they've done, the guy lives in the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he had a lot of caveats, like, are we talking eating raw? Are we baking with them?
He did ask right away, raw apples?
It's true. I mean, you would ask him a question about fruit, and he would have three other questions back to you.
Oh, totally.
So,
I mean,
he's a reporter.
He's hardcore.
Yeah. So. Shout out to Katz. All right, so that was your favorite part of Vegas. Talking to Fred Katz about fruit.
Well, a lot of favorite parts, but that just stuck out to me.
That's I mean, to stick with the favorite parts in Vegas involving Fred Katz, I did enjoy Trey Kirby and Fred Katz at one particular athletic meet and greet, the two of them basically having a yelling match about Harry Potter characters and whether, I guess Fred Katz's whole thing was Harry Potter is the worst character in Harry Potter. Mm. And he was Team Snape. Is that right?
I believe he started out saying, nobody reads Harry Potter for Harry Potter. They read it for Snape.
Yeah, yeah, and Trey...
Yeah, okay, that's bold.
Trey took offense to it, but
I
it was...
said, it ain't called Severus Snape in the Chamber of Secrets,
Fred. There were some great points made from both sides, though. It was a fun debate going on.
It was good. I mean, we're in the early dog days of summer, but in the later dog days of summer, we have to go full podcast.
Totally.
Full cat.
Oh, cat days. When the dog days turn to the cat's days.
We're in the dog days of summer, but when it's cat's days, the pluots will fall from the trees.
We will have them on, Fred Katz, to talk maybe some NBA, but a whole lot of Harry Potter and fruit. You can lock that in. All right, that's rapid fire. Great job, guys, as always. We'll call it there. That's the week for us, but we'll be back next week. I did see that some of these sports books have started releasing their over-under team totals. Could be some content there. Obviously, dissecting those, looking at some of the numbers, going, how'd they get to that? Some of the teams are off the board, though, still. Wisely. They're like, I don't know. What do we do with the Sixers? What do we do with the Heat? We don't even know who the hell's going to be on the teams. But we could do that next week. We'll be back with a few shows, what I'm getting at. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. And you YouTube watchers, make sure you subscribe. You can even hit that little bell button, that notification, so you know when we're going live. Because, look, in theory, especially when a Damian Lillard trade goes down, hopefully we can jump on and immediately react to whoever this third team is that gets involved in Tyler Hero. So thanks for joining us here. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Until next week, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, subscribe, but also drop your top five fruits. Very interested. Wherever you're listening, hit us up. Top five fruits.
Brace the weekend, people.